Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
Have you ever tried really hard not to acknowledge something because the simple act of acknowledging it is going to get a job, have you do a job that you'd rather not do? I don't know how it works at your house with your spouse, but at my house, if I walk by a kitchen sink full of dirty dishes and say something about it, it suddenly becomes my job to make sure that is taken care of, or a dirty window, or whatever it might be. I was reminded of this game we used to sort of play last weekend. Lynn and I had two of our grandkids with us, ages 3 and 1, and the youngest one's in diapers still. And I was playing with her, and she had a dirty diaper. Now, as a grandpa, I have to say, I have not yet changed a dirty diaper, and I didn't want to break that streak, you know, so I'm remembering how it was when we had kids. It was, if you smell it and if you say something about it, it's your job. And it was amazing. Well, way back before the COVID thing, and you could lose your, I would lose my sense of smell, and it would just depart for long seasons. But finally, when I couldn't stand it anymore, I'd say, and of course, it became my job. And so last week, I'm remembering this. I say, do I say anything? Because if I say anything, then I've got to do it. I did say something. And Linda did it because she is the better person in our house. But I wonder if that's what it was like on that night of the Last Supper, when the disciples come together in the upper room and they're ready to have this Passover meal, and they walk by this. And this would have been at every home in the first century, along with a pail of water. Because it was customary in that era to, as a courtesy, to wash the feet of those who came to your house for dinner. Roads were dusty and people walked everywhere and they wore sandals, so their feet got really dirty. And just as a courtesy, and maybe also to keep your house from getting so really dirty, you would wash the feet of those who came. Now, this task usually fell to the youngest in the house or the servant, the least important. And the disciples are gathering. There's 12 of them and Jesus. John, we know, was the youngest, and maybe he looks at it and says, not again. I've been doing this for 3 years, you know, not again. And anyway, for whatever reason, they don't do it. Well, we think we know the reason. If you piece it together, when you look at all four Gospels, you get a fuller picture of what's going on in any of the biblical stories, but especially this one because they all cover it. In Luke 22, listen to this. It says, this is the night of the Last Supper. A dispute also arose among them, the disciples, as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Are you kidding me? Leonardo da Vinci's famous painting doesn't show any arguing going on. They look rather holy, don't they? Just kind of sitting there ready for the moment. No, they're having a fight about who's the greatest. Crazy. And maybe John, you know, he's the youngest. He's saying, I'm not doing it anymore. Besides, I'm one of Jesus' favorites. And maybe Peter says, well, I walked on water. And they're having all of this argument. You know, they're all arguing. And finally, Jesus speaks up. He says, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. Jesus, quite frankly, is disturbed by their inflated egos, their selfishness, and their unwillingness to stoop. So we know what he does next. He takes the pitcher. He takes the water. And he washes their feet. Now, many believe that this is not just an act of service, although it is that. It is an acted out parable about Jesus and who he was and who he calls us to be. And so I believe that this points us to the greatest thing, which is serving. Jesus said, the greatest of all is the servant of all. And in our culture, we don't believe that. We believe power gives people the right to lord it over others and tell them what to do. But Jesus says it's not to be that way with us. Well, today we're beginning a new series called Rhythms of Renewal. You could say it got started off last week with our guest speaker, Rebecca Lyons, who wrote a book by that title. And over the next month, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the rhythms that she speaks about in that book, rest, restore, connect, and create. But there's another one she mentions but doesn't list, but we're going to take this one on as a rhythm of renewal, and that's serve. That one of the ways that God renews us is when we get in the habit of serving. It can be something small and spontaneous, or it can be something that's scheduled, something we just simply build into our life. Now, sometimes serving costs us and it's hard, and we get bumps and bruises as a result of serving. And sometimes it means picking up our cross. Other times, though, I find much of the time serving is a way that God renews us. I've always been interested. There's a field called positive psychology. A lot of psychology looks at, you know, what's wrong. Positive psychology looks at what's right and what makes us right. And there's been a lot of research done over recent years, actually several decades, about the benefit of serving and what it does in you when you serve another person. A year ago, the height of the pandemic, the New York Times reported, had an article called The Science of Helping Out. And it said this: during a crisis, the people who cope best are those who help others. Several studies suggest that supporting others helps buffer our bodies against the detrimental effects of stress. A 5-year study of 846 people in Detroit found that stressful life events appeared to take a greater toll on people who were less helpful to others, while helping others seemed to erase the detrimental effects of stressful experiences. And we know we're in an age of high stress, high anxiety, higher anxiety levels than recorded, at least since we've been keeping record of that, and high levels of depression. A Dr. Stephen Southwick, a professor emeritus of psychiatry at Yale, said this: small acts are important. Part of that might have to do with just getting outside of myself and finding meaning and purpose in something bigger than myself. There's something that happens in our heart when we serve. And interestingly and ironically, during this crisis season that we've been in the past 18 months, this is the very thing that people have retreated from. We see across the country, not-for-profits, organizations of all kinds, and churches, including our own, people have backed away from serving. Volunteerism at its all-time low. People got out of the habit, and it's just dropped dramatically, and yet this is one of the very things that can strengthen us during a season of crisis. So to engage in lowly service is to be blessed. Jesus says that. He says, after he does all of this, he gives a lesson to his disciples. He says, now if you do this, you'll be blessed. So let's look at what it is to be blessed. I want to look first, though. John introduces us to the most significant life. John's a great writer, and he opens this up with, you know, a flair and kind of drama. As he talks of the stories of Passover week, he slows the story way down and goes into great detail. And he gets to verse 3 and says this: Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Is that word power? And that he had come from God and was returning to God. So John wants us to understand that the person who's about to wash their feet is the one who has all power and the greatest power and authority in heaven and earth. This is none less than the second person of the Trinity, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. John wants us to understand that because it puts into perspective about what happens next with the washing of feet. That in fact, this was Jesus' normal way of operating. It was his life. He took power, and instead of turning around and forcing others to serve him, he served others. It's revolutionary. Unheard of, really. Think about it. If you had all power, what would that do for you? Well, we remember the phrase of the British historian Lord Acton, who said, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. We see what happens when people get power. About, I think it was 2006, the movie Bruce Almighty came out. Remember, Jim Carrey played Bruce, and for a few days, he has the power of God. And what does he do with that power? Well, he uses it to serve himself. He gets the best sports car possible, and when he gets in traffic, he just parts the sea, just like Moses parted the Red Sea, you know. He helps his career. He helps himself out in many self-serving ways. That's how he uses his power. And we kind of chuckle at it, but we wonder, if I had that kind of power for a day, how would I act? Jesus shows us a different way. And again, this was his whole way of operating. In fact, John is great at double meanings when he writes. When you read John's gospel, you always have to be looking below the surface. There's the thing he's describing right in front of you, and then there's the message beneath the message. So verse 4, it says, "So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him." That verse captures his whole life. He got up from the meal. He got up from his throne in heaven. And he took off his outer clothing. And in the meal, would have revealed a long-sleeve t-shirt, what we would call today. Long-sleeve t-shirts is what slaves wore. He takes on the clothing of a slave. He got up from his throne in heaven. He took off his glory. And he wrapped himself, the towel, he wrapped himself with human flesh and dwelt among us. And it says that he takes the water and he pours it into the basin. Like I said, this is a parable. Because on the next day, his clothing will be taken off of him. And he will be nailed to a cross and he will pour out his blood for the sins of the world. This act on this night typifies Jesus' life. The incarnation, him becoming a man to begin with, the cross, it's who he was. It wasn't just this one-off thing this night. This is how he lived his life, giving himself for others. And so now he turns it on us and says that for us, we are to be like him. We are to serve like him. It's all about a towel because it is the most significant thing that we can do. What? To be like him and to follow in his footsteps. So when we go back to the story, as he takes on this task and starts washing his disciples' feet, he finally gets to Peter, and Peter objects. In fact, Peter is offended because no really important person should be doing this job. This job shouldn't fall to Jesus, and he thinks it's a scandal. And so it says, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand," and they will later. "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Peter had such a closeness with Jesus that he had the comfort level to say no. And Jesus replies, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." You see, unless we get washed in the blood that Jesus spills on the cross, we have no part with him. And so Peter relents and lets Jesus wash his feet. Now, we believe that what Jesus is saying here is not, he's not instituting, like he does that night, the Lord's Supper, he's not instituting foot washing as a ceremony. Now, I know some churches do that. It's a small minority of churches. And that didn't start happening until many centuries after the first century. Because what Jesus appears to say here seems to suggest that in verse 14, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." We believe that's figurative. Because listen to what he says next. "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." He didn't say you should do what I've done for you, but as I've done for you. Actually, it'd be easy if that's what it was. It was just a foot washing ceremony. We just do this every once in a while, then we meet the requirement, we're done, right? No, he's saying this was an act of service and humility. Now, this is how you are to act among each other. The great ones among you are to see nothing beneath them. They are to stoop and to serve, to see no task as somehow beneath them. In fact, to use their power and authority to serve others. There's all kinds of ways that we can do this, real practical ways. But the key is that we do it. Now today, again, we don't wear sandals walking along dusty roads. We drive our cars on asphalt-paved roads, and we get here and our feet are okay, all right, for the most part. Don't take off your shoes. All right, we're good. But we don't need to do that. But right now, some of you have babies in the nursery, and there are folks, they may be changing your baby's diaper, washing a different part of the anatomy, but a humble way of serving, right? There are simple ways, all kinds of ways, in daily life and daily living that we can live this out for each other. The theologian Leslie Newbegin said it this way: Jesus has laid aside his life for us, and the debt we owe him is to be discharged in loving service. Our neighbor is the appointed agent to receive what we owe Christ. Jesus says this. Now, you go and do this. Verse 15, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I've given myself. I've poured out my life. And the next day, he pours out his blood. Now, your response? Serve. In ordinary ways, serve one another. That Jesus is calling for a kingdom of foot washers. Verse 16, he says, very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. What he's saying, if you're going to be his servant, rephrase it, if you say, I don't want to take on that act of service, you're really claiming to be greater than Jesus, the master. He's saying, no, if I, your Lord and master, serve this way, then you also must serve this way. What about you? Some of you in your world, you have authority. Some of you, really important jobs where you maybe have folks reporting to you, you run companies or you run departments or you lead students or whatever it might be. How do you take that authority and how do you use it? How do you use it in a day-to-day sort of way? You see, the world clamors for power. We're called to stoop and to serve one another. Earlier in the service, we prayed for healthcare workers, and I do that joyfully. I think some of the greatest people in the world are nurses and techs. Amen. I've seen them through the years in many, many ways. I spent a lot of time in hospitals as a pastor. And I've seen them just lovingly serve and do jobs that aren't so pleasant, like emptying out bedpans. Not exactly an appealing job, but they serve. And they're willing to do the necessary thing, whatever that may be, and I love that. And they do that as a career, as a profession. But Jesus says we can do this in our day-to-day lives and exemplify what it is to follow him. Sometimes this serving is spontaneous. The moment arises and, are we gonna just stand around and wait for somebody else to take care of it, or are we going to take care of it? A memory is indelibly printed in my mind. When I was about 7 years old, I was raised by my mother and her parents, her dad and her stepmother. And when I was 8 years old, my grandmother died. But before that, she went through a debilitating illness. She had what they called back then hardening of the arteries. I'm sure there would be a more, you know, exact diagnosis today, but she had pretty much lost all of her memory. And my mom and my grandfather took care of her. And I'll never forget this day. Like I said, I'm 6 or 7, I was. My grandmother walked out from her bedroom into the living room there and just urinated all over herself and the floor. And, you know, as a kid, that it was a little bit troubling. See grandma like that. I'll never forget what my mom did next. She took her stepmother, just put her arm around her, walked her back to her bedroom. She cleaned her up. She put dry clothes on her. And she came back out to the living room and mopped up the mess. My mother put on a clinic that day of what greatness looks like. Now, sometimes it's spontaneous, or it might be a dirty job, or it might be something no one else wants to do. Sometimes it's planned, and sometimes it's just a simple thing. Sometimes it's taking on the task no one else wants to do, or sometimes it's stepping in to help because, well, help is needed. And there's all kinds of ways that we do that. Now, as we talk about rhythms of renewal, there are the spontaneous moments, but then there is this time where we just build it into our life where we serve. And we get in a schedule. We can join a ministry, a church, and we're on a schedule. And it's just this discipline that begins to transform us as we do simple acts of service for others. Last month, we had Eagle Lake Camp here for elementary school kids and had over 220 kids participate. Very fun week. And the counselors, though, they come from outside. They come from all over the Midwest, recruited by Eagle Lake, and a great group of counselors. And the one thing they ask is that we put them up in our homes. And so people in our church with the gift of hospitality every year open up their homes for these counselors to stay. Well, this year we had fewer, so we had some folks had to take on more. And one of our members took on 10 girls at her house and had them all week. And on the last day, she wrote an email to her sons. She raised boys, and she sent them an email telling them about her experience, and this is what she wrote. You know, when you hear people talk about serving or caring for someone or others, when it's all over, they realize they were the one that was blessed? Well, that's what this week has been for me. Yes, my bathrooms are a disaster, the drains are clogged with hair, and I have loads of linens to wash. Not to mention several trips to the grocery store. These girls ate like football players. But the laughter, girl talk, and gratitude from these 10 girls has been such a blessing to me. She says, I've often wished my spiritual gift wasn't hospitality because I feel like it's so mediocre compared to most. Oh, no, no, no. Hospitality is a beautiful gift. It's rare today. But God made me this way for a reason I know now. When the girls were chatting last night, we were having our final meal together. They all said this has been the absolute best host home they've experienced this summer, which made me happy but sad at the same time. On this, my last night, I'll go to bed with a smile and a happy heart. My takeaway from this experience is sometimes say yes, even when you want to say no. You never know what a blessing you might be receiving. And how many times over the years, over the decades, I've heard people say, you know, I stepped in to do this serving, and I got blessed. I don't know if they got blessed, but I got blessed. I hear it all the time. This is what Jesus says, right? In verse 17, he says, now that if you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Not if you know about it, not if you heard a sermon about it in church one day, but if you do it, if you take the towel, put it around your arm, and serve however the serving needs to be done, you'll be blessed. We have a wonderful children's ministry here that requires a lot of volunteers, and they are servants indeed. And I wanted you to hear from one of them today. Haley Russell has volunteered in a number of capacities at LaCroix, but most recently given herself to children's ministry. And I asked her to come and share a little bit about what that has been like. So Haley, would you come up and share?
Good morning. As Pastor Ron said, my name is Haley Russell, and you are my people. I come to the 9:15 service every week, so Emily Todd, thanks for holding down the fort back there. I am a high school teacher by trade, and so when most people hear that, they go, oh, you want to serve with high school students. And I spent a lot of time in Renovate. I went on mission trips, and then I had someone stand up here just like me about 10 years ago and brought up the idea of, hey, we need help in the rainforest. And I had this thing called baby fever, and I was not married. I didn't have a husband. I had no insights on when I could be married. And so I said, well, I can go hold babies. And so after three kids, I have found myself working in the rainforest as well and just continuing to love on them. And when I was asked to do this, it's interesting because we often have the misconception that, well, I go to a big church and everybody is already doing this stuff. They don't need me. And that's not true at all. We can use every single one of you. So later on, I expect you all to text in. But I initially agreed because somebody needed to do it, and I knew that I could. Serving has allowed me the opportunity to give back to the people who have continually supported me and my family. And there are four things that you will see if you volunteer, or I should say when you volunteer. Number one, you're going to see the exhaustion on people's faces. I can promise you, as a mom of three, when I hand my son, who's one, off, there's a good feeling of, I know he's taken care of, but I don't have to change that diaper in the next hour. So I appreciate all of those people doing that. And that's something that, while it sounds silly, I enjoy doing for you all, knowing that you can come back and that your son or daughter is going to be clean. You're going to feel the love. You're going to give the love to those kids back there, but you're also going to feel it from the parents and the people that you work with. You also are going to have a connection. My daughter is in a class with a young man that I didn't really know his family until we started volunteering and being together as a LaCroix family. So you're going to have connection. But then finally, you're going to have support. As a mom of three, I need to know that there are other people going through the same battles that I am. And I can tell you that I have felt that support just by volunteering in the rainforest. So you'll also get cool t-shirts. So if that's your thing, cool t-shirts. I can promise you, you're never too busy. I'll show you my calendar if you don't believe me. But honestly, find your niche. We can use you. If it's in the rainforest, great. If not, there are other places that we absolutely need you. So thank you so much.
Thank you. So Jesus does this thing for his disciples and uses this as a teaching moment, as he often did, these spontaneous moments that would happen as a moment to teach a deeper truth. And here he says, as I have done this for you, now you do it. Like I said, sometimes that's a spontaneous thing. Something needs to be done right then, and instead of saying, I'm too busy or I'm too important to do that, we just step in. That's what followers of Jesus do. And then there's the rhythm. Jesus said, if you do this, you'll be blessed. All the research shows that when we give of ourselves, it just it does something to us that renews us, that strengthens us, that serving and giving of ourselves is one of the great things we can do. And like I said, we have been through an era I've never seen. I've been in some kind of ministry or another for 40 years, and I've never seen what's happened like what's happened in the last year and a half, just be totally honest. I've never seen such a drop in volunteerism across the board. And every friend of mine who serves churches across the country, they're all telling the same thing. We're all going through the same thing. This isn't just here, it's everywhere. But there are a couple frontline ministries that we have here that honestly need your help and support. Sometimes serving looks like stepping in and just filling the gap. And so I would invite you to consider stepping into one of these two gaps. There are a lot of different ways you can serve at LaCroix, but two of them would be children's ministry. We're really understaffed there. In fact, we still have not been able to open the rainforest on Saturday nights. Not a choice, it's because we don't have the volunteers. and then hospitality, greeting and serving in different ways to make sure that when people come into the building here, they feel loved, they feel welcomed. We know that that's important. We're here on a mission to reach people for Jesus, to grow them up as disciples of Jesus, to lead them to wholeheartedly follow. But if they walk in and they don't feel welcome, they're probably not going to come back. You know, maybe they don't go to any other church. I don't know. But we want to make sure that we have frontline folks who show hospitality and love. Those are two different areas. In children's ministry, it can be changing a diaper in the nursery, watching babies, or it can be teaching fourth graders or fifth graders what it means to know Jesus. Or it doesn't even have to be something with kids directly. There are administrative tasks. There are setup things. There are things you can do that may not even put you in contact with children, but serve those who do. There's a number of different roles, a lot of different ways. And for this season that is so unique, I'm just appealing to you to say, step in. Maybe step back into that kind of ministry because you used to do it. Or maybe for the first time. As Haley said, in a big church, one of the things that happens is people say, oh, someone's got it covered. And it's not covered. One of the ways you can serve in this season is to do this. You'll shadow folks. They're not going to just throw you in sink or swim. They'll kind of show you the ropes and help you get accustomed to it. And in fact, we're going to have a little meet and greet Tuesday. Those who can be there, if you can't be there, that's fine. Or maybe you're one of those folks that says, yeah, I'd like to do that, but the virus thing and all that, I'm a little concerned right now. That's okay. You can go ahead and serve and then say, I want to wait for a season, but I'll serve. But I would invite you to consider serving in children's ministry or in hospitality. And we're trying to make this as easy as possible, so we have this text thing. And so on the screen, you're going to see a number. And if you'll text this, serve, that word, just one word, to that number, 573-273-4224, you'll get a response back, and it will tell you next things. And there's a very simple form that you can fill out. It'll take you 30 seconds or less, I promise. It's very, very simple. We've made it as simple as possible. You just do that. So you can take your phone out right now and send that to us, and we will follow up. Out in the lobby, there's folks with hospitality, with children's ministry, can tell you more about it. In fact, if you get that, you get a response back. And if you bring that text string, your phone with you, and show it today, it's Sunday at the park. We got the Sugar Chic food truck going to be there, as well as other food trucks. But the Sugar Chic folks are going to be there. And if you come to us and you show that text string, we'll give you a free ice cream cone. Yes, that is called bribery, okay? It is called bribery, all right? I'd get on my knees and beg right now. I'm just appealing to you as your pastor. We've never seen a time like this, and we just need some folks who are willing to say, I'll do this. And some of you are going to find it's your thing, and you're going to want to do it for a long, long time. Others are going to say, you know, it's not my thing, but I'll help out. And if we as a community respond this way, we can start getting back on track and being the kind of community God calls us to be to reach our world. There's many different ways you can serve, but this is simply one of them. And Jesus says, if you do this, you'll be blessed. Jesus said, your response to my love for you and my giving of myself to you is to give yourself to one another in humble acts of service. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that you loved and you showed us a whole different way to use power. Lord, we live in a world where power is so abused. And you show us a better way, a different way, a revolutionary way to take the power and authority we have and to stoop, to put a serving towel over our arm and do whatever job is in front of us. So God, I thank you for the servants among us. They are the great ones. They are the great ones. So Jesus, may we be your disciples, following you in all that you do and say. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.